And joining us for the second part of the show today is Grace Garver, and she is here with the Safe Climate Campaign to give us an update on clean car standards, fuel efficiency, and anti-pollution standards, as well as the new proposed changes from the Trump administration to these rules. So, Grace, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. So first I'd like to go over a bit of the history of the CAFE standards.
Okay.
The corporate average fuel economy standards, often shortened to CAFE, are the regulations that determine average fleet-wide fuel economy for cars and light-duty trucks in the United States. They dictate that by a certain year, average fuel economy for an automaker's fleet must be at a certain level or the automakers will be subject to fines. So we've had these standards since 1975, when they were enacted largely as an effort to reduce our dependence on foreign oil in response to the 1973 oil embargo. They first went into effect in 1978, and one of the original goals of the standards were to roughly double fuel economy to 27.5 miles per gallon by 1985. In addition, under the Clean Air Act, a waiver is granted to California and several other states that may have higher air pollution so that they can regulate their own clean air by setting stronger fuel economies than the CAFE standards set.
Right.
This is really crucial because these 12 states that have this waiver make up 40% of the auto market, and so the fuel economy standards set by these states often sets the agenda for the rest of the country.
So, Grace, can I jump in for a second and ask, you know, I think we often hear about California wanting to set standards that are a little bit higher. What other states are in this 12-state group?
Well, there are several. Colorado actually was a state that just recently joined. Other states include Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, and there are several others. And in total, these states make up 40% of the auto market. So when these states decide to set clean air regulations that dictate fuel economy, the auto industry is really forced to listen to that because they don't want to be making cars for the 40% of auto drivers that live in these 12 states, and another set of cars for the 60% of auto drivers that live in states that might have lower clean air standards. So when these states set higher standards, the rest of the auto industry is really forced to comply with what they want.
Great.
Okay, so what is the White House and Congress proposing with a number of bills or executive actions? What are they proposing to do to the existing CAFE standards?
Absolutely. So in 2009, as you probably know, President Obama strengthened the CAFE standards that were originally acted in 1975. But now, just last week, Trump has decided to roll back these standards and freeze them at what would be the 2021 level. So when Obama strengthened the standards, he did it in such a way that the average fuel economy for the American fleet would need to reach 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025. But under Trump's rollback, that fuel economy is going to be frozen at the 2021 level, which means that by 2026, the average vehicle will only need to have a fuel economy of 37 miles per gallon rather than the 54.5 miles per gallon level that was mandated by Obama. In addition, the Trump administration has said that it's going to seek to revoke the right of California and the other states to regulate their own air under the Clean Air Act.
Wow. Okay. So those are pretty, particularly that second one, the revoking the waiver. Those are big changes that will be imposed. How difficult what are the steps that have to be made to achieve these this revoking of this waiver, let's say? What has to happen there?
Well, first of all, the 12 actually actually the 12 states that have the waiver and some other states in addition, including the District of Columbia, have already announced their intention to sue the Trump administration in response to Trump saying that he wants to revoke this right. So it is going to be a battle. California, being the largest of these states, is largely leading this fight, and we're really counting on them to maintain a strong standard for fuel efficiency, because if they're able to do that, then the rest of the negative impacts of Trump's rollback will be lessened or perhaps eliminated.
Where does public opinion stand on this, not just in those 12 states, but nationwide?
So overwhelmingly, consumers support the cleaner car standards and fuel-efficient vehicles in general. A recent poll from Consumers Union found that 9 in 10 Americans actually thought that we should have stronger fuel economy standards than we currently have. In addition, Trump's sort of main argument for enacting this rollback is in terms of automotive safety. So he has essentially argued that fuel-efficient vehicles and the CAFE standards make drivers less safe. But experts have widely said that this is false. For example, the Trump administration is purporting that freezing the standards at the 2021 level will prevent 13,000 traffic fatalities. But under the Obama administration's original analysis, they found that strengthening the standards would reduce fatalities by 100. And automotive safety experts widely have said that this is patently false, and the Trump administration is essentially making up figures to support its rollback.
And Grace, just to supplement that, that's 13,000 lives they say would be saved over a decade, which is about then about roughly 1,300 a year. And if my numbers are right, roughly 33,000 people lose their lives on the highways every year. So that would be about a 4% decrease. That's their estimation, that 13,000 lives saved over a decade, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And Trump is essentially chalking this up to something called the rebound effect, which suggests that since drivers save money using fuel-efficient vehicles, they will drive more often and will be at greater risk of being in a traffic accident. But experts have largely said that the Trump administration's analysis is assuming this rebound effect to be much, much greater than it is in reality.
There's also an interesting, when we're talking about human health and safety, there's also the piece of the impacts of pollution on human health, right? So impacts on asthma or cardiovascular systems. What does the data show on that?
Absolutely. So, I mean, in general, as we know, having cleaner air actually improves our health and will save lives over the long run. Right now, there are 6 million American kids that suffer from asthma. This rollback is going to do nothing to help improve their lives. The rollback of the fuel economy standards is actually going to result in an additional 2.2 billion metric tons of global warming pollution to be emitted into our atmosphere by 2040. So not only does that mean more global warming and more sea level rise, that means Americans everywhere are going to be breathing in dirtier air. And that's going to have some major health consequences.
So I'm curious as to how this has been received, because we obviously, from the community that's focused on human health and the environment, there's been a lot of pushback. But there's been an interesting reaction from the auto industry. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So some important background here is that these standards were actually kicked off. These rollbacks were actually kicked off by the auto industry itself. Just 4 days into the Trump administration, the CEO of Ford Motor Company met with Trump to ask him to roll back these standards. But what the auto industry didn't know then was just how far the Trump administration was going to take this rollback. So it's likely that Ford and some of the other auto industries auto companies that were pushing for a rollback really just wanted more loopholes so that they can produce some less fuel-efficient vehicles and get around some of the fines that are levied against automakers that don't meet the fuel economy standards. But now that the rollback has ended up being so wildly extreme and has been so poorly received by the public and enviros, the auto industry is trying to distance themselves from their involvement in that.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. It sounds like any good industry is looking out 5-10 years ahead. They do their planning and they base today's construction schedules and on what they're seeing 5 or 10 years out. This would kind of shake up a lot of that 5 and 10 year planning and have them, they're not ready to just simply retool and build heavier pickup trucks or heavier cars again. It's not that easy.
Rollback creates a lot of uncertainty for the automotive industry. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think I also read a quote. I'm trying to find the name of the group here, but it was an auto industry group who kind of released a statement that was very vague in their response to the rule and kind of said that they do support ever-increasing fuel standards, not a freezing of those. Is that right?
Yes. The Auto Alliance has said that they are against this rollback. I don't have the quote in front of me, but as I said, the auto industry, this rollback really is not beneficial for them and creates a lot of uncertainty in the industry, and they just don't know where the regulations are going to be in 5 years, as you said. So they are, it's better for automakers to have certainty about fuel economy than to have what they have now, which is uncertain rules that may be shot down. Maybe California will decide we'll be able to continue its waiver and we'll have more strict standards than the rest of the country. The auto industry really just doesn't have any certainty on that at the moment.
Well, along those same lines, let's talk about what the next steps are. What do you anticipate seeing next? Do you expect these rules to stay in place? Will there be some negotiations? What can we look forward to?
So for the next 60 days, there's a public comment period before the proposal moves forward. As I said, 19 states and the District of Columbia have already announced their intent to sue over the revoked waiver. That gives them the right to regulate their own clean air. And it's certainly likely that we're going to see a legal battle and lots of negotiating on what these standards are going to become.
All right. And how can we as citizens participate in having our voices heard on this?
Well, you can write to your congressmen or other elected officials and tell them that you want cleaner cars. You can write to auto industry leaders like Jim Hackett at Ford and tell them that you, as a consumer, demand more efficient vehicles. The auto industry kicked off this rollback, and they can make it stop if they tried. You can also encourage your friends who are shopping for a new car to buy the most efficient vehicle that meets their needs. All of that fuel economy information is available at fueleconomy.gov. And just be an engaged member of this conversation, because the cleaner car standards were the single biggest step that we've ever taken to fight climate change, mm-hmm. and rolling them back is going to be very disastrous. So it's just really, really important that we have a united front on this.
Okay.
We've got a few minutes left, and so I wanted to ask about your organization, Safe Climate Campaign. Tell us where, how long you've been around and what your main goals are.
Well, the Safe Climate Campaign is a project of the Center for Auto Safety, which was founded in 1970 by Ralph Nader and the Consumers Union. The Center for Auto Safety advocates for better auto quality, safer vehicles, and auto regulations that help keep drivers safe. And of course, a major portion of that is fuel efficiency. So the Safe Climate Campaign was started as a sub project to advocate for fuel economy and cleaner cars. So what we do is we advocate for strong green measures that help reduce global warming pollution, like the CAFE standards, and just try to spread the word about how important fuel efficiency is. Because as of right now, the traffic sector, the transportation sector, is America's largest polluting sector. And if we want to achieve our climate goals, it's going to be really important that we preserve the cleaner car standards and move towards more fuel-efficient vehicles.
Do you see this as more of a potential change within the U.S. auto industry manufacturers? Do you see foreign auto manufacturers, you know, kind of engaging in this proposal?
So foreign manufacturers are doing a much better job on fuel efficiency than American manufacturers. The three big American manufacturers, Ford, GM, and Chrysler, are lagging behind every major foreign automaker on fuel efficiency. So foreign automakers have really done a lot more to innovate and embrace gas-saving technology that American automakers have. And the truth is, American automakers have the technology to make their vehicles more efficient. They just aren't doing it.
Yeah, I see that over the last three or four decades, we have a generations that are accustomed to looking at the miles per gallon on that sticker when we're out buying a car. That means a lot to us. And now, if you're going to have a car that gets fewer miles per gallon, that's not a very appealing part of purchasing a vehicle.
It's not. To date, the cleaner car standards have saved American drivers over $60 billion on gas. And it's estimated that Trump's rollback will, in 2040 alone, cost Americans an additional $55 billion at the gas pump.
Right.
So this rollback is really going to be very costly to the American driver.
Okay. So, again, the name of your website, your organization, and a website?
You can learn more about us at www.safeclimatecampaign.org, or you can follow us on Twitter at safe_climate.
Well, thank you so much. That's Grace Garrett with the Safe Climate Campaign. Thanks for joining us.